This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. From the floor of the North Carolina State House to the city of New York, jurisdictions around the country are imposing smoking bans. On tomorrow's program, are we going too far with no smoking or not far enough? That's tomorrow on Talk of the Nation. Today, President Bush and British Prime Minister Tony Blair are continuing their first-person diplomatic efforts. Both leaders are trying to win support for a United Nations Security Council resolution, which would set new conditions for Iraq to avoid a war. The U.S. and Britain are suggesting Iraq could get a few more days past the March 17th deadline to show that it's disarming. The conditions include a requirement for a televised appearance for Saddam Hussein to admit in Arabic that he hid weapons of mass destruction and to renounce them now. All along, Prime Minister Blair has been the staunchest supporter of President Bush and U.S. policy toward Iraq, despite polls that show 80% of the British public do not support a war without the support of a second resolution from the Security Council. Tony Blair has managed to weather the crisis up to now. Joining us from his home in London to talk about the political storm intensifying is Sir Timothy Garden, a professor at the Center for Defense Studies at King's College London, and good of you to join us on Talk of the Nation.
And thank you for the invitation.
We saw a vote, I guess it was last month now, a third of Tony Blair's Labour Party voted against him on a resolution on Iraq. Is he politically vulnerable now?
He's very vulnerable now, and indeed, if there isn't a second resolution, I think you'll see the Labour Party, doubling in opposition when it comes to the next vote. So he's a very worried man.
Why, tell us, has Tony Blair been such a strong supporter of the disarmament of Iraq?
Well, in many ways, that's the question everybody in the country, in Britain, is asking. We thought we had a moderately reasonable strategy that contained the problem of Iraq for a number of years. Saddam got weaker and weaker, and suddenly we found ourselves in an increasing possibility of going to war. Tony Blair has actually been a remarkable prime minister in his external affairs. I mean, if you think back to Kosovo in 1999, he was in many ways ahead of President Clinton in terms of his wish to put in ground forces at an early stage to save the ethnic cleansing that was going on there. So I think he has a track record of being pretty forceful in terms of how he sees righting wrongs around the world.
And in this case, how does he view Saddam Hussein?
Well, I think he looks upon him as a really bad guy, and there's an opportunity to get rid of him. And so he wants to take it, given that the United States is so ready to do it. And he also sees an importance in terms of the U.S.-UK relationship. And I mean, it's very strange, because he's also a very pro-European prime minister, an unusually pro-European one, and yet he's, in effect, ditching Europe in favor of the United States over this.
Yeah, Britain had more and more. I mean, all of us remember the special relationship of Prime Minister Thatcher's time and President Reagan. But Britain had become more and more committed to the European Union. And now, as you say, he's risking his relationships with France and Germany in particular, the two strongest or two of the strongest members of the EU.
Yes, but I think he thinks those you can rebuild. I mean, the European Union now is so interdependent in the economic field and in many others. I mean, in counterterrorism, the justice and home affairs in the EU is providing far more security than anything else. And he thinks he can rebuild the relationships in Europe subsequently. What he couldn't do, of course, is if he failed to support the US, rebuild relationships with America, because this is obviously so much President Bush's baby.
Now, earlier, I guess over the last couple of days, Foreign Minister Jack Straw and today Mr. Blair are describing new conditions Britain is putting forth as a compromise measure to avoid a resounding defeat of the Security Council resolution that was put forward last week. Tell us what's in this resolution or proposed resolution. I guess it's not down on paper yet.
I mean, what they're going to do, they're not going to put the wording into the resolution. They're going to attach a sort of note that says an indication that Saddam was being serious would mean that he would comply with these six activities, which involve the scientists being sent to Cyprus to be interviewed with their families, a look at the anthrax where it's been, and a whole series of, if you like, benchmarks to make sure that Saddam is complying. The most difficult one and the new one which everybody thinks will not be deliverable, is that Saddam should go on television and say sorry, basically, that he should admit to all his past misdemeanors.
And is this given a real prospect of success at this moment?
Well, I think most people think it's a sign of desperation by the British government. The French government have already said they're going to veto whatever happens on the grounds that there is no seriousness anymore about trying to get a peaceful settlement out of this. I mean, there is a belief in Europe at the moment that the United States is going to go to war whatever. And so the essence of the debate is not about whether Saddam complies or not, but whether the UN gives some legal cover to a military operation that the U.S. has already decided to do.
Would it meet Prime Minister Blair's minimal conditions for political, well, maybe not survival, but for political prospering, if such a resolution could somehow win the support of 9 votes in the Security Council, even if France decides to go ahead and veto it anyway?
I think he will have great difficulty with that. We all know that the United Nations is an imperfect organization, but it's got a set of rules, and the UK has always followed those rules. And so sort of saying, well, we've got the 9 votes, but we haven't got the resolution, will not satisfy his backbenchers, won't satisfy the country, and perhaps more importantly, I think won't satisfy his legal advisers. And I think the reason he's getting so nervous at the moment is the UK is remarkably keen to observe international law. I think he's getting advice from his governmental legal advisers that say, unless you get a UN resolution which is passed and authorizes all necessary means, you won't be able to go to war because you're not getting the right legal clearance from the United Nations.
Almost recognizing his political difficulties, yesterday Secretary of State Rumsfeld said, well, you know, it's certainly conceivable that circumstances might arise under which Britain might not participate with the United States in an upcoming conflict. Later he issued a clarification of that. There's been a great controversy over that in Britain today, assurances that indeed U.S. and Britain stand shoulder to shoulder.
I've been round, I think, every television studio today as a result of Mr. Rumsfeld's remarks yesterday. I mean, they really have caused shockwaves here because it was very strange. Since the British public believe that we've got 40,000 UK troops, which for us is an enormous number, really sort of about a third of the British forces out there, ready to go, integrated into the US structure. And Mr. Rumsfeld tells us, well, he doesn't actually know whether he's going to have British troops with him or not. So there's been a lot of damage limitation briefing going on today to try and get over that. But the reality is, of course, that if Tony Blair finds that he can't get the legal authority nationally to go to war, then Mr. Rumsfeld is absolutely right.
And would there be a vote before Britain would have to commit its forces, a vote in Parliament, I mean?
Well, there's no necessity for one. The Prime Minister has the authority without consulting Parliament. I mean, what has happened in past conflicts is that the vote, or anyway the debate in Parliament, tends to take place after the troops are committed and all the members of Parliament show their support for the operation. Now, he has promised that there will be another vote, and I think that if we see a decision to go into operations in Iraq with no second resolution, he will have a much larger rebellion in his own party. All of the smaller Liberal Democrat Party will vote against him, and he will be dependent for his survival on the conservative opposition, which would be an extraordinary position to be in. He will then be almost fatally damaged unless the war is very short and is shown to be low casualty and everybody welcomes the arrival of the American and Australian and UK forces. That's quite a tall order, really.
Sir Timothy Garden, thanks very much. Sir Timothy Garden is a professor at the Centre for Defence Studies at King's College in London, and he spoke to us from his home in London. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News.